Let's just take just a moment just to, you know, we've already prayed, but getting started with a word of prayer. I always like prayer, don't you? Amen. So, Father, we just worship you and we praise you for your grace tonight. We thank you for, Lord, those that are with us online and those that are wherever. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we just thank you as we just come into a place where we're just in a simple service of just reminding ourselves of the glory and the grace of the Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's up there now. Thanks, guys. Harry, when you walk back in, it came on. Your presence. Just your presence. This is a very simple message tonight, and we're going to do a few things, but kind of a conglomeration of a few different things, and I think that you'll enjoy it. But we want to just kind of really remind everyone that is watching and everyone that's here of what the Family Prayer Center's vision is. And that's a simple thing, but nevertheless, it's so important that we continue to remind ourselves of what we're after. Why do we come? Or why do we teach what we teach? And it's because we believe in something called a revival that has been given to us. Homer loves to call it the fullness of the kingdom of God, and I love that as well. I think that's perfect. You can't improve on it. But revival is something that's being talked about more than ever before. You know, when I started in 1997 out at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa, and I met Pastor Dave Roberson, he was one of the few men that I ever heard at that time speaking about a revival. And many of those people that are watching tonight are part of the roots of that beginning out there with me, and some of them still around and still contending. And they're part of this church, Pastor Jim Martin's church. But the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of everything that he has provided for us, we're not just coming to church. We're not just coming to church to fulfill a Christian lifestyle, but our roots are in an inheritance in the Word, an inheritance in what we came back here and began to speak nearly 30 years ago, and began to sow into the hearts of some of the elders that have been with us almost the entire time. But we're believing God for something that is already, we believe. We haven't seen it so much here in Immokalee as far as the sweeping move, but the college campuses are really starting to burn with revival fires. The Gen Zs, you get men like Mario Morello and different ones and people that are traveling the country and are reporting on this, and Christian, you know, the Christian media that you can trust. The Gen Zs, the 13-year-olds to 28-year-olds, something has exploded. And it's going around our country in a very powerful way, and it's headed, the wave is headed towards Immokalee. Hallelujah. And so what we are, revivalists, we call ourselves revivalists, we call ourselves those that are believing for something that has been promised. It's been promised to us, it's been promised to the generations from the very beginning when Jesus ministered on the earth. What's our proof of, from the words of Jesus? Let's just talk for just a moment. What would we, he did, you know, he ministered, he obviously laid forth salvation for us, and he laid for us doctrine, the foundation of all truth and all doctrine. And by that doctrine, by the Sermon on the Mount, which is, I believe, I would call it the backbone, the skeletal structure of all sound doctrine that the apostles and begin to, Paul and John and all of them begin to use, the revelation knowledge that Christ had delivered from the very beginning. But did Christ, was it just that he started the salvation for mankind, and himself began to do the works. Was there anything in him, was there anything in his words that gave us a proof positive to say, we believe that before the end is over, because we've went through centuries where we've seen upticks of revival. Revival has taken place. You can read about revival in different places. Excuse me. And through the centuries, many wonderful things, but they've always waned. They've always come and gone and waned and come and gone. But there is there a revival? Is there something that will take place in the end before Jesus comes back? Well, Jesus gives us, and one of the places, and I believe there's many different places where we can pull this out, but one of the different places that Jesus begins to give us proof positive of what is coming and what we can believe for is in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm just going to read these verses. You can follow along with me, and we've shared this before in the past, but this is kind of like throwback night to look back and say, what's our heritage? What are we believing for? What is our go-to? What is something? Well, obviously, it's Jesus. We love Jesus more than anything, but that's the reason why we're here. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." And if we had read this all the way through up to this point, there's a lot to be said here. Jesus he's left the temple, and he's went out, and we're not going to go into the everything up to this point, but the disciples were trying to we could go back and show that they were actually showing they were trying to appease him because his anger was up at the religiosity of the day, and Jesus was, his disciples were trying to show him the buildings of the temple, Herod's temple, how wonderful it was. And Jesus said unto them in verse 2, "See not all these things, for verily or truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another." Now Jesus said that, and that shall not be thrown down. And Jesus's words, Jesus was not only our Messiah, but he was also a prophet. And no one would know that, but that's in 70 AD, Jesus is standing there at the age of probably 33. And in the 35, 40 years later, in the year 70 AD, the exact same thing, the Romans came in there and said, "We're going to just destroy everything." The Jews had been a thorn in their side for many years, and They came in and just absolutely demolished this beautiful temple and history. We even have it from history that there was not one stone left upon another. In other words, they just totally destroyed Herod's temple. But Jesus prophesied that. And he said, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall be these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Well, the first thing, and we've talked quite a bit about this, is deception. And there's a lot of deception in the church today. We understand that. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." You know, Pastor Jim Martin talks about that, really, if you break this down even more so, out of the original, I believe, is what he's saying, is that there's an understanding, and I've said this before, it's not just that they're saying, "I am Christ." That doesn't, you can see that there are some, there's some crazies out there that would say that. But more so, the more deceptive is that people, ministers, men would come in the last days and say, "I'm representing Christ. I'm saying the words that Christ would, I'm giving you the truth." Jesus said, "Many will be deceived by them. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." And obviously, these things are taking place all the time. "See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." He says, "For nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in different or diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. What do you believe, Pastor? I believe that we are in the beginning of sorrows. We haven't got to what we would term the great tribulation, but simultaneously with this great outpouring that's going to take place, there is something that's going to correspond right along with it, and it's going to be the beginning of sorrows. And as we go further and approach the great tribulation, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Somebody said, well, that verse isn't, you know, that hasn't taken place. We're doing pretty good here in America. If you look at the nations of the world, that verse is already being many places. The Muslim nations of the world. If you look at different places in Nigeria, different places where, you know, there's just so much taking place. People are being persecuted, genocided, taking place because of Christianity. And that verse is already being fulfilled. It may not be being fulfilled around us particularly, but those things are already taking place. And if you're in one of these nations of the world, you could look at that and say, boy, I believe is coming, because this is taking place present tense for us. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Well, that's happening, of course. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And when he's talking about that, he's not talking about the sinner, the unbeliever. He's talking about those that were once in the church, that they will begin, their love for God will wax cold. Listen, folks, what we have to know is this. Somebody told me one time, we love you, Pastor, but you're not a racehorse, but you are a whore, you're a thoroughbred. I don't know how they said it. You're somebody that just won't, I mean, you won't stop. And that's the greatest. You're somebody that will just never stop. You're in it for the marathon, the long distance. And I would rather be a long distance runner than somebody that just is a quick start and a flash in a pan. I don't want to be another somebody in history that just started something and it just was here and then it was gone. Then shall they, he says, many false prophets, many, and then the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures, can you say that? He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The same shall be saved. And this, here we go. This is what Jesus said. And this gospel, which one? The one that he was doing. His gospel. This gospel. What gospel? Not just God. The word gospel means good news. But with good news is action. It was action with Jesus' good news. And the one that he pedigreed, his DNA was on, was the one that healed the blind, cast out devils, brought healing and ministry everywhere he went, first time, every time, all the time. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. In other words, something's going to take place, a tsunami of glory, a tsunami of presence, of power, and of the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, so strong, he said, in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then after that shall the end come. Hallelujah. So we have a straight from the mouth of our Lord and Savior. I don't know what you call that other than a great outpouring, kingdom of God fullness, revival, a revival of everything that he left. In other words, the words, his gospel was once again going to be in fullness. In the Amplified, it says this, and this good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then will the end come. Jesus said before he comes back, this gospel, the one that he teaches, the one that he demonstrates, will be brought forth, the one that Jesus preached. Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, for our gospel, for those that would misinterpret, say, well, the gospel is just a good news. It is good news. But he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. We live and die by the word. But he says this, but also in power. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Jesus said in that whole thing that I just read prior, he said, you know, going into that, he's, well, Jesus said in one place, he said, if I do, you know, he said, believe me, believe my words, but believe me for the very work's sake, what I'm demonstrated. Hallelujah. Isn't it going to be wonderful for us to say, believe my teaching, but if that's not good enough, just sit and watch the demonstration. That's where we live. That's what we're believing for. We're an inheritors of a vision. And then vision goes back on this planet for me to Pastor Dave Roberson, Tulsa, Oklahoma, our friends that are watching. It goes back, but it goes back in depth, in promise, in this word, to the very words of Jesus Christ. And that's where we stand tonight as we remember what we've been called to do, and we rehearse that together. Many ministries are believing for a harvest, a worldwide harvest, but our harvest is plus miracles. It's plus miracles. That's what we are standing for. So what's the bar? There's in-depth teaching we can do on this and have, but what's the bar of our expectancy? Let's remind ourselves once again, what's the bar? What are we to expect? What should we be believing for? Jesus said this, and this is where I thought I had it in my notes. John 14:11-14, Jesus said this, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Hallelujah. For truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Hallelujah. Ralph, Gay, Candy, Homer, Rex, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Above 500 people saw him leave. He went to the Father. We have a witness. We have four gospels that witnessed and tell us that he ascended on high. And now he's standing at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Came in as a babe in a manger. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful time of year. The devil never really knew. The mystery of Christ was this. The devil never knew. He couldn't conceive when he pulled off his shenanigan in the garden. He did not know that God was going to become a man. That God, a member of the Godhead, was actually going to transform himself and actually come into this planet and become a baby, actually wrap his spiritual DNA with physical DNA, and the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. What an incredible mystery. Hallelujah. And God gave him a name. He was the Word there. Now, I don't want to get too much into this because people will be saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, he was a Word there, but when he got here, his name was Jesus. Dave used to say, what incredible that a member of the Godhead, the Logos, the Word, would actually transform his image and come here and become a man. What did he look like there? I don't know. Obviously, I think he looked somewhat, you know, he had the DNA of his physical, had the DNA of Mary. So he probably looked like Mary, but he changed. He became a baby. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Christmas story for us to live in the expectancy of a God that would love us that much to just change himself. He says, and whatsoever, Jesus said this, concerning our bar, whatsoever that we're to expect, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I was watching Dutch Sheets today, and I thought, now part of this towards the end, it has something to do about America, and it's all good. But he was reminding the church of an inheritance in that what we have. And it caught me in a certain sense that our reminder tonight for revival is so much the same in what he was expressing. So for the next few moments, we're going to watch this. Many of you that follow him, I don't get to watch all of his. I try, but I sometimes I'll miss many of them. But I thought today was really good. They're all good. But I want us to take a few moments and listen to this, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah.
Hello, thanks for joining me today for Give Him 15. And the title of our post today is The Power of Covenantal History, Part 2. In yesterday's post, I shared that David used the strength of his covenantal history with God to defeat Goliath. We in America can do the same. The passage depicting this battle begins by telling us that the land Goliath wanted belonged to the tribe of Judah and had been given to them by God. David was part of this tribe, meaning the land belonged to him. Then David emphasized that he was in covenant with God, while Goliath wasn't, as seen in the fact that he refused to call the giant by any name other than uncircumcised Philistine. Circumcision was associated with being in covenant with God. These two historical facts guaranteed victory, but David continued to brandish his history with God, testifying of the supernatural ability God had given him when facing a lion. He said, I seized him by his beard, attacked him, and rescued the lamb. As if that wasn't amazing enough, David also killed a bear. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. This small, physically insignificant young man had faith that was anchored not to his own abilities, but to a history of God's faithfulness. It is significant that David stated this history. There is power in giving testimony to past victories. After teaching on the power of history recently, I was asked by a messianic Jewish rabbi if I knew the meaning of the Hebrew word for testimony. I did not. Well, the word doesn't mean simply to convey something from the past, he informed me. Its literal meaning is to repeat an action or do it again. We Hebrews believe, he continued, that when we share what God did in the past, it releases the same power once again into the present. In other words, power is released to do it again. It's the meaning of the word. My head was spinning. He continued, that's one of the reasons we share with our children the stories of what God did in our Jewish history. It isn't only so they'll know our cultural history. It's also so the power in that history can be released to them today. For example, when we tell them about Passover and the Exodus, we believe God's delivering and saving power demonstrated back then will be released to save and deliver our children from bondages they may have today. Woe times two. The rabbi went on to tell me he and his congregation had been experiencing healings from repeatedly sending believers to sick individuals and having them recount healings they had received in the past. Didn't pray for them, just gave their testimony. When they testified of their healings, God's power was released to do it again. This drove me to my lexicons. While studying the word testimony, which meant exactly what the rabbi had said, one dictionary sent me to the Hebrew word for remember. Similarly, it didn't mean simply to think about something from the past. It means to do what is being thought about. This is why God tells us in Isaiah 43:26, put me in remembrance. He doesn't require this because he sometimes needs a reminder. Rather, he is instructing us to ask him, based on something he said or did in the past, ask him based on something said or done in the past to take action today. God remembered Hannah, God remembered Hannah, who had been barren and she conceived. He, remembered, his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and commissioned Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. For God, remembering involves action. This was life-changing revelation for me. I finally understood why God said, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony. Revelation 12:11. And I believe this is why David stated his testimony of the lion and the bear. After doing so, David grabbed his staff, 5 stones and his sling, and approached the giant. Why would David want to be encumbered with his staff when fighting Goliath? In those days, men carved symbols depicting their history on their staffs. It was their journal of sorts. David's staff no doubt depicted pictures of a dead lion and a dead bear, his testimony, his history with God. David made one stop on the way to the battle, visiting a nearby brook to gather the stones as ammo for his sling. Even this seemingly insignificant act was connected to David's history. The root Hebrew word from which brook is derived actually means inheritance. That may sound strange, but Hebrew is a pictorial language. And this word pictures receiving something, then possessing the authority to control where it goes. Thus, inheritance, or a stream bed. Actually, it's perfectly logical for Holy Spirit to use this symbolic picture of an inheritance. After all, it was David's land, his inheritance. So David held his history, his staff, in one hand, reached into his inheritance with the other, then ran to face the giant. And yet, there's still one more connection to David's history which played a part in this battle with Goliath. His Judah nature, his DNA. Many Christians know that Judah means praise. That, however, is a derived meaning. In this pictorial language, the Hebrew word actually pictures the extending of the hand. This is why the word is used for praise. We raise or extend our hands when we praise. However, because Judah means to extend the hand, it also means he who throws a stone. In his history, David was from the tribe that throws stones. I sometimes imagine David as a young boy, spending countless hours alone watching his father's sheep. He obviously turned those times into many hours of communing with God. And early in that season, he must have thought, what weapon do I want to become proficient with? I mean, I'm going to face lions and bears out here. Who knows what I'm going to face? I need to become proficient with a weapon. A bow? And somehow that didn't seem appealing to him. Perhaps a sword is what I should learn to use, he may have thought. No, that's not me either. Suddenly, from somewhere deep in the heart of this young shepherd boy, a thought began to waft up. I'm from the tribe that throws stones. And the rest, as they say, is history. I don't need a sword or spear, David thought as he prepared to face the uncircumcised Philistine. The land he's trying to steal was given by God to the stone-throwing tribe, my tribe. What I need to do is reach back in my history, deep into my DNA. And he did. We believers in America are going to defeat the giants invading our nation, and we'll do so in part using the same weapon David used, our spiritual history. The God who formed and preserved America in her past will fight for her today. As you pray for our nation, boldly declare his past faithfulness, believing in the power of testimony. Speak of our birth. Declare about the revivals of the past. Wave the appeal to heaven flag. Here are two quotes from John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States and son of John and Abigail Adams, you can use as weapons. He said, July 4th, 1821, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Boy, there's a weapon for the revisionist crowd that wants to deny our Christian heritage. But again, in 1837, at the age of 69, he still believed it. In delivering another 4th of July speech in Massachusetts, Adams said, why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That is incredible. He continued, that it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. He knew America was formed to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He continued, is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission on earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government on the first precepts of Christianity. He was a president. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many victories you have given America over the years. Thank you for your supernatural help when we were created as a nation. You aided us in this endeavor when success looked absolutely impossible. We have inscribed that history not only into our history books, but our hearts. Like David with his staff, we carry that history with us into today's battles. We refuse to fear today's giants. They are small when measured against you. We wave the appeal to heaven flag as did Washington and his troops, and declare your faithfulness. We wave the flag over abortion. We wave it over idolatry. We wave it over unrighteous government. We wave it over false religions and our godless education system. We wave it over dishonest media. We wave it and boldly declare you are saving America. And our decree. We decree that America exists for the glory of Christ. We will war with that truth and overcome the spiritual giants trying to rule our nation. Amen, amen, amen. Well, yesterday's and today's posts were taken from this little book, Giants Will Fall. A little teaching God gave me a few years ago about turning this nation around. Easy read. You can find it at DutchSheets.org or if you are interested. Again, easy read. It will inspire you and it will increase your faith that we are going to win the war over the soul of America. We are winning it. America is being saved. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about how important it is when he was talking about the that messianic rabbi, and of course, meaning they're Christian, how that he was teaching his group that they could just go and share their testimony. And their testimony had really begun to just bring forth notable miracles. I know that once, thanks, Candy, I think that one of the things that we're going to see as time goes on is the ease by which miracles take place, the absolute ease. And I don't know why, I don't know how we've made it so hard, but we have made it harder, and we're getting there, and it's going to be a place where it's going to be so easy. I was one of the testimonies that we have in our church here is Mavis, hallelujah. For years and years and years, they tried to conceive, and so it was a battle for a long time, and hallelujah, 5 months pregnant now, and so praise God, hallelujah. So what, you know, Mavis, you'll just to mothers and women that will need you know, to believe God, and maybe there's different things that they're doing also. It's fine to have to get medical help and stuff, but there's still a great miracle, tremendous miracle. And just you sitting down with these ladies at times and talking to them and saying, this is what happened to me, it'll transfer faith over to them. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. I want us to just for a few moments, just for a little bit, we don't have to go long, but we have something that we've done for years. Now we have it on the screen. We invite people to just, you know, confess as they're watching it, like prior to service. But I don't think that happens a lot. I think people get to talking and they don't do our, you know, the confessions. Years ago, Gary Carpenter out in Tulsa developed a number of revival confessions, and then we've kind of tweaked things here for a Mockley, but Gay leads us here, and for all of you Tulsa people that were always a part of that, you'll enjoy just saying some of these with us. But Gay, will you come for a little bit? And before we get out of here tonight, we're getting towards the close of the service, but bring forth some of those inheritance, miracle, this is the bar and no less kinds of confessions. Thank you so much. Now, you can sit or be, you know, stand, however you want to do this. But confess with Gay. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we declare. We preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel. Only yours. It's the gospel that saves. The gospel that fills. The gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost, be saved, empty, be filled, blind, see, sick, be healed, lame, walk, deaf, hear, dumb, speak, maimed, be whole, dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The sick are healed. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the maimed are made whole, and even the dead are raised in the name of Jesus. More than 12 legions of angels have been loosed to prepare the way for revival. Angels have been dispatched to the four corners of the earth, intercepting and stopping every mission and every assignment of the enemy that would come against this revival. Holy Spirit, soften the hearts, we pray, where hurts have wounded. Where calluses have formed. Where walls of defenses have gone up. Holy Spirit, even now. Soften the hearts. Hallelujah. The assignments of all devils. Against the Family Prayer Center. The people of the Family Prayer Center. And the leadership of the Family Prayer Center. All those assignments are dismissed now in the name of Jesus. We declare those plans null and void. Devil, we have taken Immokalee from you. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. We are in authority here. Therefore, devil, get out of Immokalee. Take your demons with you. Angels, run them out. Now in the name of Jesus. The King of Kings has made a decree. We are speaking in his stead. Our King has declared, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Our King has decreed, captives, you are free. Every person returns to their original inheritance, the born again trail. Father, you've restored our inheritance. And here at the Family Prayer Center, the inheritance is not just known about. We don't just teach about it, but it is received, manifested, and seen. We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, every artificial help They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies. To the glory of Jesus our healer. All manner of sickness. And all manner of diseases are healed. First time. Every time. All of them. No exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings, like never before. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. All things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Lord, we thank you that by your Spirit you have bound us together as cords of three strands that cannot easily be broken according to your will and good pleasure. Therefore, we lift up the blood-stained banner over this city, written in blood. On this banner are these words: Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Therefore, Father, have your way. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. And again we say, lost be saved. Empty be filled. Captives go free. Sick be healed. Blind see. Deaf hear. Dumb speak. Lame walk. Maimed be whole. Dead live. In the name of Jesus. For Father, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever. Your will be done in Immokalee. Just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah to your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. A good way to end a wonderful meeting on a powerful note. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved, and wherever you're at, it's saved. Hallelujah. Blessings to all of you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah.